Will it leave you better or worse? Every time, and I just can't get back to the office because I have one or two, I hope they're right, you know. If any of you by chance have any of these that work, I would appreciate you help me out. I need to put one on my desk so that whenever I am there. Anyway, will it leave you better or worse? I think I see Angela. Great to see you, Angela, always. Is Sister Brown around? Oh my God, Sister Brown, it's good to... When I came out the car, I saw Angela and I said to Sister Mitchell, I said, I wonder if Sister Brown is around. And it's good to see both of you. And each time I see you all, I'm asking, do you come home for good now? Because you are dear to the church, not only here, but I know where you fellowship there. You are playing your part in enhancing the cause of Christ. Always good to see you all. I said, in our daily trivial and profound experiences, these experiences, be it the trivial or the profound one, they solicit from us reactions or responses which have bearing on our Christianity and our relationship with Jesus Christ. That is, the things you and I face each day, the way you and I mean all of us, the way we respond to them, sometimes they are trivial things, sometimes they are profound things, we respond to them. And we respond to them in ways that impact our Christianity. They have bearing on our Christianity. Somebody may just by chance pull their package, I mean the bus, pull it right against my dress or my pants. And I may not respond conspicuously where anybody see, but within me, there will be a particular feeling. Why couldn't that person carry whatever they are carrying a better way? It might be two that I'm driving, and a person drive a particular way that was not good, was not safe for that person or for myself who is also driving. And I respond. What I'm saying is that these responses take from us, solicit from us reaction that has bearing on our Christianity and our relationship with Jesus Christ. These responses usually leave us better or worse spiritually. So the title of the lesson, will it leave you better or worse? It what? The virus. At the end of the day, at whatever time the vaccine brings the virus to some degree of control, where we can move about more normally. We don't know, is it 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, we don't know. But we strongly feel that that time will come when there will be some degree of control where we can go about our businesses more freely. When that time comes, if you and I are around to see it, will it find us better Christian, or will it find us worse Christian? Based on what the virus has done for us when it was active. Let us run to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 to verse 6, and verse 10 to verse 14. What we are going to look for here is where the Almighty God is presenting the Israelite that their experiences, the things that they went through as God's people, these things had bearing upon their relationship with God. Did I say Deuteronomy chapter 8? That's what I said. Did I say verse 2 to verse 6? Yes. And then verse 10 following. Let us have it.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God let thee 40 years.
The Almighty God is asking Israel for reflection. Think. For 40 years, of course, many of you know, if not all of you, that it was never meant to be 40 years. That's right. It was meant to be just a little over a month. Took 40 years. Read, brother.
40 years in the wilderness to humble thee.
Okay, the Almighty God says, remember how I led you these 40 years, and among the experience you have, I had to humble you. Read.
And to prove thee.
Wait, I proved you. Wait, how did God prove them? Don't move from the passage. It's the things that they encounter that God used to test them. The word prove, test.
Amen.
Their trivial and their profound encounter and experience dealing with whatever, those were the things that God used to test them. Read.
To know what was in thine heart.
God used all the experiences that the Israelites were. Wait. Was it confronting Amalekites in the wilderness, or Philistine, or thirst, or wild beasts? What was it? Or idolatry? Whatever they encounter and had to respond to it one way or the other, God was watching how the Israelite responded to it and using it. What word he used? Prove.
That's correct.
Examine, test them. Read on a little more now.
To know what was in thine heart.
To know what was in your heart.
Whether thou wouldest keep his commandments.
Whether you want to serve me or not. What verse is that?
The end of verse 2.
Read on.
And he humbled thee.
God humbled you.
And suffered thee to hunger.
Wait, the word suffer there means permit you. Wait. Permit you to experience deprivation, want for food. Wait, God permit that for his kid. Yes. And when that comes, it's good for us. Because those things bring out of us what is inside. Permit you to experience hunger. Read now.
And fed thee with manna.
God fed you miraculously. Read on.
Which thou knowest not.
Gave you food that you didn't know about. Read on.
Neither did thy fathers know.
Read on.
That he might make thee know that man doth live.
Does
that
not.
Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth
Wait. You notice that the outcome of whatever God permitted them to experience, the outcome was for their own good. What is the good? The Almighty God was showing the Israelites that even when they meet place, I don't know if we'll have time to look in the passage here of Deuteronomy or the other passage I have in mind, when they drank the water and dying of thirst, and when they drank the water, they couldn't drink it. It was bitter. All that the Almighty God was testing them. Huh? But the ultimate goal that God had in mind, among the ultimate goal, is for them to understand that man does not live by bread alone. Are we all there? Are we all there? Amen. That man does not live by bread alone. Amen. We live by everything that the Almighty God has to say to us. Are we there? Step down to 10 through 14. Quick, brother.
When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord.
Wait. We have just left some negative experience. It's interesting that you note this. From verse 2 to verse 6, the brother has just read, I'm not sure if I had permitted him to read verse 6, but what was read was all negative experiences that the Israelite had. God's interest was noting how the Israelite responded. Are we all there? Are we all there? And what it brought out of the Israelite. Wait. Their desire to serve him. Is that what came out? Are they looking for excuse not to serve him? Is that what came out? Brother Mitchell, what's that about? The COVID. That's right. What will it bring out of us? So now we have dealt with the negative experience. Verse 2 to verse 6. Now, did I say verse 10 following? He's dealing now with positive experience. Read on.
When thou hast eaten.
When you have eaten.
And art full.
And you are full. You are not in any need. For the necessities of life, read on.
Then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God.
You shall be thankful to God.
For the good land which he hath given thee.
Read on.
Beware that thou forget not the
Wait,
Lord
brother,
thy God. Wait,
brother, did he say beware? You see, there are some danger there. You see, we must watch how we respond to any encounter or experience, be they negative or positive. Does the coronavirus bring some negative experiences? Yes. Do they provide opportunity for us to seek how to give God less of our time in worship? We'll be getting to that. Yes, brother?
Beware.
Beware.
That thou forget not.
That you do not forget.
The Lord thy God.
The Lord your God.
In not keeping his commandments.
Uh-huh.
And his judgments.
Uh-huh.
And his statutes.
Uh-huh.
Which I command thee this day.
Watch here now. Read.
Lest when thou hast eaten and art full.
When you have eaten or you're full, meaning when you have all the necessities of life you need.
And hath built goodly houses.
When you live, have nice houses, you notice the thing that God, you know, this has always fascinated me over the years. The things that God takes note of. And this tells us the God with whom we are dealing. The Almighty God, when you reach a point where you have all the things you have, the necessities of life, when you have nice houses to live in, read, brother.
And I built goodly houses.
And you build goodly houses.
And dwelt therein.
And you dwell therein.
And when thy herd and thy flocks multiply.
When your bank account. Wait. Our wealth is not measured in terms of how much cow and sheep we have, but how much our bank account is. That's right. That's what it's talk about.
And thy silver and thy gold is multiplied.
Your silver and gold multiply. You have a lot of money now. Read on.
And all that thou hast is multiplied.
Everything you have multiplied. Wait, this is the positive. This is the good life. Remember in verse 6 through verse 10, rather verse 2 through verse 6, it dealt with the negative experience. And how those negative experiences impacted negatively upon the spiritual life of God's people. Now it's dealing with the positive experience. Things are going good for God's people. How do these good experiences cause you to respond to God's will? What verse are you?
The end of 13.
Read a little further, brother.
Then thine heart be lifted up.
Your heart, pride. Pride. Things are going good. Instead of you getting more faithful, little by little, you get less faithful.
Amen.
Are we all there? Amen. Are we all there? Amen. The COVID virus is one of the most consequential challenges ever to confront man in our time. Truly. I mean, there is no place in the world that it has not touched. And there is no area of our lives that it has not touched. I was sharing with a brother here, I think I was talking to Brother Webb, and was pointing out that, of course, last year I didn't travel, and even this year, when both Olive and Melanie down on us, Melanie had just gone, you know, the company with which she worked in Bermuda wanted her to work on the highway 401 in Canada and send for her. And she has been wanting us to come. I tell them, I am in no hurry to travel with this COVID business. Truly, I could stay here from in Jamaica. Well, I love Jamaica from now until thy kingdom come. I'm surprised too that my brother in Mandeville felt the same way. He has his Canadian citizenship, has lived here for 15 years, no retire. And every year he and his wife went up for their medical examination. He said was in no hurry to travel. But I finally decided that I'll go. And then, months ago, Sister Mitchell and myself had both vaccines. So we were fully vaccinated. Yet, when we're ready to leave, we have to get tests. Now, but that is not Kwati and Jill. $8,000 for her, $8,000 for me. Then, okay, we were over there and we want to go over Canada now to visit Melanie. We have to get tested again. Luckily, we find a place because it was $100 per person, $150, we found a place that charged $50 each. We give God thanks. So we went to Canada and we spent time with Melanie and she warned us, okay, time come back now for us to come back to America because that's where we fly from. We're told we have to take tests again. I
this you have to pay for, you know, your pocket.
So we grumble about it, but Melanie say, okay, she will pay for us to get it. Yes. Then we come to America now and we're ready to come home. We are told that we have to take tests again. Oh my God. No, that's the COVID. That's what it has done to us. So, hey, be careful how you get vexed with government and people, because the step they are taking is only to help bring it under control. I said to them over there, that's the only unpleasant area of my trip. We have to spend so much money getting tests every second. That's what the COVID has done. How will this COVID leave you spiritually? Are we all there? Will it leave you as a wiser, stronger, more faithful, more committed Christian? Or will it leave you worse, a weaker Christian, a less committed Christian? If the COVID is brought under control 6 months from now, 3 months from now, a year from now, 18 months from now, and you and I are still around, will in God's sight we are better Christian in respect to how we have responded to the challenges of this virus, what it has done to our spiritual life? And that is what it has done, either negatively or positively. In many instances, Israel, God's people, came out of their various experiences, challenges. They came out worse and farther from the Almighty God. Israel. God's people. Wait. Yes, like we, as we go through life, we will encounter many things daily. Some of them positive, some of them negative. The way you and I respond to them impact on our relationship with God. Israel encounter many things. Look at the book of Judges. It is chapter 2, verse 19 through 23. Read for us, brother. Judges. Chapter 2.
And it came to pass, when the judge was dead.
Brother is reading, the Almighty God is reminding Israel of, and it came to pass, when the judge
was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers.
Wait, you get what I get here? You get what I get here? I think there were 14 judges. Are we all there? These were community leaders who sprang up. You know, Moses and Joshua, national leader, died. And community leaders sprang up and God used them. They were in many cases for a relatively short period. God used them to guide Israel. But what has just been stated, I think judge is singular, isn't it? Yes, so a particular judge died. Notice the result.
That they returned and corrupted.
Start again.
And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers.
You get this? Just the fact that a judge died, all what they were taught, you're not here. You're here. All the truth and the example that judge has set for them to stay on the right track. Are we all there? No sooner that he died that they corrupted
themselves. That means they strayed away from God. Read on, brother.
In following other gods to
serve
them.
Wait. I want to make sure. That is, they turned to idols. They turned to idols. Instead of serving the true God, they turned to idols. Read on.
And to bow down unto them.
Mm-hmm.
They cease not from their own doings.
Uh-huh.
Nor from their stubborn way.
Uh-huh.
And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people had transgressed.
Because this people have transgressed
my covenant.
Uh-huh.
Which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice.
Uh-huh.
I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nation.
I wonder if you get here. Dear enemies, the heathen nation that was a plague in Israel's back. Remember, Israel was God's people. But the Almighty God says that the Israelites are still surrounded by some vicious Gentile. God says, I allow that. I allow that. Read on a little more, brother.
That though them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it.
Brother, everybody get what he's just said? That they who? The Gentile might be used to test or to prove or to examine Israel. That's why God left them around. God could have used Joshua to subdue them, but God didn't. God used these heathen Gentile to bring out of Israel what was really there. Could God be using the coronavirus to bring out of us what is really there? The passage is here before you. Not only that, remember what I've just said, in many instances, Israel, which was God's people, came out of their various experiences worse and farther away from God than at the beginning, both the positive and the negative experience. You know what I find interesting, brothers and sisters, and visiting friend? It's not only God that used these experiences, but Satan used them also. Yes. All the things that Israel encounter, God chose to use them to test, examine Israel, whether they want to serve him or not. But wait, Satan also find use for them to tempt Israel to stray away from God. Did you know that the different things that we encounter in life, they are not only being used by God to examine us, but they are being used by Satan to pull us away from God? May God help that at the end of this virus, that is a point where it might not be completely gone but under control, every true child of God, not only here in Jamaica, but wherever true children of God are, they will be better people. But you see, from experience, we know that it will not be so. That's right. There are many men and women who will use some of the experiences that the virus presents to us as opportunity to become weaker Christian or to backslide. As I've said, Satan uses these encounter, these experiences to weaken us, to undermine our faith, and to turn us away from God. God, on the other hand, use them to examine us and to bring out what is really in us. Negative or positive experiences, be it with the corona or our everyday experiences in life, they are bringing out of us what is really there. The Christian, God's people will always face challenges of different kinds and different sort. Brother Mitchell, could you repeat that? Thank you for asking. The Christian, God's people will always face challenges of different kinds in this life. That is the nature of this life. No man or woman, whoever you are you're an ungodly person, are you a Christian, this life presents challenge for us. This life has its problem. And sooner or later, we will encounter them. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, address this partially. Let us hear it quick. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 10 through 13. Quick. Timothy, you fully know my doctrine, what I teach.
Manner of life.
You know my manner of life, how I live.
Purpose, faith.
You know my purpose, my faith.
Long suffering.
You know my long suffering.
Charity.
You know my charity.
Patience.
My patience.
Persecution.
Persecution? You sure that's your brother? The great Apostle Paul suffered persecution? Yes. Read on.
Afflictions.
Affliction? The great Apostle Paul? A man who was truly a servant of God? Yes. Read on.
Which came unto me at Antioch.
Antioch?
At Iconium.
Iconium?
At Lystra.
Uh-huh.
What persecutions I endured. But out of them, all the Lord delivered me.
Out of all of them. May I just drop this? Don't move from the passage. Whatever we face, God will face them with us. Remember, whatever you face, and it matters not how long you might be going through, be it financial difficulty, illnesses, and other challenges. A lot of times, because we have gone through something so long, Satan would like us to have give it the interpretation that God not ever going to help me. You and I don't know that. Leave things up to God and keep your faith in him. Paul says, out of them all, God deliver me. Read on, brother.
Yea. And all that will live.
Stop there a while, brother. That's the verse I wanted, you know. Believe me. But you see, I give you all a little background to the verse. You see, that's the verse that I want. That all that will live godly in this present world, what happened?
Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But even
Wait, that brother, here, run ago. I mean, a life how you read shall suffer persecution. That's what you need to express loudly. That read that verse.
Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Everybody hear that? That your attempt to live godly, while as I've said, by the very nature of this world makeup, wherever we live in the world, there will be challenges for the godly as well as the ungodly. What this passage is pointing out, that especially for the man or woman who is trying to please God, there will be challenges. But get this now. how we respond to these challenges. How we respond to these challenges. Those challenges arising from our negative experience and our positive experience. Be those negative or positive experience coming from the coronavirus, how we respond to them will determine whether we come through better or worse, Christian. Are we all there? Brothers and sisters, look at Romans chapter 8, 35 through 39. Let us run through these few points and then the lesson will be yours. Romans chapter 8, 35 through 39.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Uh-huh.
Shall tribulation or distress?
Uh-huh.
Or persecution or famine?
Uh-huh. Wait. Start again. It's a passage known by most of us. Paul was addressing Christianity, but I want you to notice something. Who shall come between us and the love that God has for us?
Amen.
Watch here now. I want you to understand the passage. He's listing some things that at times may make us feel that God doesn't love us anymore. Make sure you do not give that interpretation to when you experience what, brother?
Shall tribulation?
When you experience tribulation, don't interpret it to meaning that God doesn't love you anymore. Uh-huh.
Amen. Or distress?
When you experience distress.
Or persecution?
When you are persecuted.
Or famine?
When you experience wants for the necessities of life. Don't ever tell yourself, there it is, God doesn't love me anymore. Read on.
Or nakedness.
When you don't even have what to, can you imagine? When you don't have what to wear.
Or perils.
When you confront danger.
Or sword.
When death is facing you.
As it is written.
As it is written.
For thy sake we are killed all the day long.
For Jesus' sake. It's like we're going through death every minute of the day.
We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter.
For the slaughter.
Amen.
Read and you know, finish.
Nay. In all these things, we are more than conquerors.
Read that again, brother.
Nay. In all these things, we are more than conquerors.
You get the point? Wait. If you and I go through, beat the coronavirus, and all that the coronavirus throw at us, as God's people, we remain faithful and grow to be more committed to Christ, we will come out of the coronavirus conquerors. But watch here, the same coronavirus, depending on how we respond to some of the challenges that it exposes us to, we may come out of the coronavirus not as conquerors, but as conquered people. Where Satan got the better of us, weaken us, less committed. We look for excuses for this, that, and what. Huh? That may well be the state of many people. Look. I'm rushing, brother, because time is going. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 8 through 10. Quick, brother. Read 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10.
We are troubled. On every side. Yet not distressed.
Are we all there?
Christian will experience a lot of negative things. We are troubled on every side, yet we are not distressed. Read on.
We are perplexed.
We are perplexed, meaning, Brother Mitchell, what does that mean? It means that we are faced with things in life that make us, we are perplexed, we are confused. Are we all there?
Yes, yes.
Are we all there? I never forget years ago. That has happened with many Christians. When Sister Blake died, you know, she was so sweet a person in this congregation. And a fire there in New York where she went to visit, she died in it. And many Christians were wondering, how can a good Christian like she died like that? It happens. It happens. These are things that make Christian ask questions. And that's what Paul, thank you, Paul, for telling us that there are times when we are what? Perplexed.
But not in despair.
But what, brother?
Not in
we
despair.
We are not
in despair.
In despair, we don't give up. Even though we do not have the answers to them, we know that there is a God that is still in charge. Even when you and I cannot come up with the proper explanation. Read, there's some more there, brother.
Persecuted.
We are persecuted.
But not forsaken.
But we are not forsaken.
Cast down.
We are cast down by Satan.
But not destroyed.
But we are not destroyed. God will see to it that we are not destroyed. Job was cast down, but he was not destroyed. Read on, brother.
Always bearing about in the body.
Mm-hmm.
The dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest.
You know, I don't want to come back to this lesson. There was another great passage I want to read for you. Let me just give you where Paul says, I learn in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I didn't want to just quote that. I want to read the context, but we don't have time to go because time is running out. You know, we must learn that whatever, be the coronavirus or life itself, whatever it throw at us, let it not so impact our relationship with Christ that we become weak. Our faith is undermined. And I'm just going to list areas. At whatever time the coronavirus is brought under some degree of control, I want to get your attention. And I don't want to come back to this lesson. So let me just point this out. At whatever time it is brought under control, or some degree, it would have diminished the faith and the commitment of many Christians. If 6 months from now, things are back to normal, many of us, or some of us, hopefully, I will prove wrong. Our faith will be less. Our commitment will be diminished. And we most likely, some of us, hopefully I'm wrong, will be worse Christian. Let me just do this. May I? Many Christians will misinterpret online worship. Many Christians will see online worship as a substitute or a replacement for true congregational fellowship and worship. Shall I read scripture? Let me make another statement.
There's another area where our lives as God's people are daily being diminished now because of some things that the virus has brought about. Sunday night services. For some time now, we have been unable to have Sunday night service because of the curfew hours. But we look forward to the time when it will resume. When that time comes, many Christians will think Sunday night service is not that important. When I give God 1 or 2 hours Sunday morning, that is enough. When does any man ever give God enough? You know, brothers and sisters, you know, there are some passage I want to share with you, and I need to come back to this lesson and hopefully, most likely, a relatively short lesson. But I need to, there are some 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 passages I want to share with you on this point. The effect that online worship is now having on some Christian and what it is doing to their mind. When the time comes that, did you know that God's will is that we congregate? And that the Bible stipulate that? Did you know that fellowshipping, that we are to have one with another, worship is one of the most important area where we have fellowship with one another? I need to pick up on this, so let me not rush through. Come spend some time with us next Sunday. Let me just finish this lesson, please. Will the coronavirus leave you a better Christian, more committed, more faithful, or will it leave you a worse person in God's sight? That's what we have been looking at. If you are here today and if you are not a child of God, the coronavirus may just serve the purpose of helping you to see your need for Christ. I say this over and over. Among the lessons of the coronavirus is that with all the advances that man has made, the coronavirus has shown us that man is not in charge, but God is. And that tells you should seek a right relationship with God, which starts by hearing his word from the gospel, believing the gospel of Christ, repenting of your sin, confessing faith in Christ, and getting baptized for the removal of your sin, to live a committed life pleasing to God. You can step forward this morning and do that. We are here to help you. Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you into his family. But it starts with faith and obedience. May I throw this out? Did you know there is no way that your sin can be addressed outside of baptism? But Mr. Mitchell, suppose I fast for 1 whole month and pray and beg God forgive me. No, you have to get in touch with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why baptism symbolizes Christ's burial and resurrection. The Bible says baptism put us in Christ's death where his blood was shed. As we stand, Jesus Christ calls you. 470 is the invitation.